This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Big day in football. I was at the AFLW-AFL joint launch this morning to help launch the AFLW season. A great turnout of star players. It was the MCG. It was fresh. The AFL confirming the Herald Sun story. They're considering boats for the grand final parade. What could go wrong? Gil joke, maybe they could even use jet skis. Imagine Dustin Martin. Now, I know they won't use jet skis. Imagine Dustin Martin rocking up on the grand final parade on a jet ski. Anyway, the idea is the city is blocked off in some parts, and Gil explained it would potentially be more family-friendly. They're looking at the idea if the grand final parade, or at least part of it, was along the Yarra, where families and the like could get on the banks and see all the star players. The AFL's working through that proposal at the moment, or idea at least. Lots to discuss today. Off the top, want to discuss the latest from North Melbourne and Alistair Clarkson. North conducted a board meeting last night where they considered the final copy or final version of Jeff Walsh's football review. The big question now, obviously, having parted company with the coach, David Noble, is what will happen in regards to the coaching search and if there'll be further changes in the football department and further changes at the executive level. At the moment, it looks like Ben Amalfio, which, just to editorialise slightly, I think is a good thing because I think he does a good job on all the commercial stuff. At the moment, Ben Amalfio is safe. It's not clear as to whether he'll be impacted by Jeff Walsh's football review at this stage. But I have reported overnight, which you may have seen, that Alistair Clarkson is now the front runner for the North Melbourne job. That's certainly the view from some sources in Sydney. The Giants want to run a process regarding their coach, and I think get the impression they're happy with this, that North have jumped in, they're all in at the moment on Alistair Clarkson. From North's perspective, who can blame them? I think the supporters would be happy if they landed Alistair Clarkson, if they landed Alistair Clarkson. They conducted a coaching search about 18 months ago, so they'd have a fair idea of the attributes of a lot of the candidates, like Uze and Kingsley and those types of guys. Not to say they won't get the job, but they'd know a lot about those candidates. And I guess North's duty-bound to chase Clarko, who, let's face it, is the most successful coach of the modern era and one of the most successful coaches in the history of the game. I've reported, I believe, Alistair Clarkson's asking price is up to $1.6 million. There is precedent for that. It's not a crazy figure. Paul Roos was paid a similar amount when he fixed and got Melbourne back on track. So there is precedent for that. Obviously, the new impact now these days is the reduced soft cap. That'll be $6.95 million next year and the best part of $7.2 million the following year. So if you paid Clarko up to $1.6 million, you'd be paying Clarko about 22 or 23%, certainly next year, of your soft cap. Now, North's obviously prepared to do that. Let's face it, Clarko might be worth that. The Giants, I get the impression, are going in a different direction. They want to conduct a search and are prepared to go slower. So they think, in my opinion, that North is certainly now the front runner for Alistair Clarkson. The big question there is whether Clarkson wants to go to North. He said earlier this year on Fox Footy on 360 that he'd prefer a team, I guess, that was in contention. North, he thinks, a 3-4-5-6 year rebuild. And the AFL's made it quite clear that they won't and can't give North any extra support in the form of any allowances or anything like that to help Clarkson with his money. It would be up to North. But let's face it, he'd probably pay for it pretty quickly in terms of membership and excitement and all sorts of factors. But it is a lot of money when you look at it in terms of the soft cap. So at the moment, the Giants committed to a process. Jason McCartney, their football boss in Melbourne this week. I think they're continuing that coaching search, sounding out candidates. They might back themselves to get an Uze or get a Kingsley or get someone like that, like Discover, in inverted commas, a Craig McRae type, for a lot less money. Having said that, Clarko, I'm sure, and his manager, James Henry, would be saying, look, go for those guys. That's fine. But Clarko is a four-time premiership coach and has a history of success. So if any of those guys have a similar record to Clarko in 10 or 15 years, good luck to them. I hope they do. But Clarko comes with a lot of attributes in the form of four flags and has got a track record of success. And North's jumped on that and I think are right into Clarko at the moment, behind the scenes, Sonia Hood, and that's coincided with the end of their review. So at the moment, North Melbourne, front runners for Alistair Clarkson, a lot to play out.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
St Kilda, Zach Jones might struggle to hold his spot, according to Brett Ratten this morning at his press conference. Mitch Cleary for Seven was there. We'll have more on that tonight on Seven News. Paddy Ryder spoke at the event I was at before. He's 34. He has this calf/Achilles injury. He wants to play on next year, which I think is fairly significant. They joked on Footy Classified. I did Boundary last Friday night, and I saw them gesturing on the boundary to his collarbone. It was a collarbone related calf and Achilles. It was a calf and Achilles injury to Ryder, which unfortunately, as I reported on Monday, has probably ended his season. But anyway, he wants to play on next year, Paddy Ryder. Now, Jordan Dugowie, this is interesting. It's my view that he's certainly in the background, Dugowie and or his manager now speaking to St Kilda. Have they met? I believe they probably have. St Kilda specifically denied that last Friday. They won't comment to me on that topic this week. They said, no, it doesn't matter which player it is, we won't be commenting on which players they meet or not meet. Look, I respect that. It's irrelevant in a sense because the club is definitely considering a bid for Jordan Dugowie. It would need board approval at St Kilda, given Dugowie's history, and I expect the Saints will get heavily into him. The reason is because they need an A-grade midfielder and some elite talent, and I believe they'll probably back themselves to have a good look at Jordan Dugowie. Is Dugowie an A-grade midfielder at the moment? Well, not just for the very second, but he's certainly got potential in that regard. I noticed there was a detailed discussion on Dugowie on Footy Classified last night, Eddie and Ross Lyon commenting whether Collingwood should retain Dugowie. It's still my view that it's most likely that he'll explore his options at the end of the year with Collingwood's consent. I'm not speaking for Collingwood, and I'm not speaking with any inside knowledge there just to emphasise, but it's certainly the impression I get as following the fallout from his incident in Bali, an incident earlier in the year. I think he's got some muted support amongst some sections of the club, and he's been given a few chances. That's just my view, and I think the Saints, and as Sam McClure's reported, Geelong, will be into Dugowie at the end of the year.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
Now, Tasmania, some will say I've been crapping on about this all year, is heating up because the vote now is scheduled for the end of August, most likely. Gil McLachlan doesn't want 66% support for Tasmania and a 19th licence from the clubs. He really only wants to go ahead with this with unanimous support. The only clubs at the moment that clearly support the concept are really Richmond and Geelong, possibly Carlton. Brian Cook, the CEO, not the president, but Brian Cook, the CEO, seems supportive of the concept, broadly speaking. All the clubs now waiting for further info on Tasmania's specific pitch. It's certainly the view of at least one club that I spoke to yesterday that this might not even get to a vote unless the numbers are finalised from Tasmania. Now they up the offer in terms of the state government support and in particular offer a stadium. What's going on in the background, this is not the AFL's obligation, Tasmania need to do this, but the AFL's trying to help Tasmania include a stadium, which isn't in there at the moment, as part of this proposal. If there can't be a stadium in the proposal, it might not even get to the club's vote in late August. This is absolutely crucial. Gil McLachlan has this idea that you could build a stadium there, a dedicated one, for about $500 million, $500 million. Now, just to break that down, the best stadiums around the world tend to cost about $20,000 per seat tops. So at 22,000 seats, $440 million, Gil McLachlan thinks even with the foundations, with all the silt and the soil and next to the water on Constitution Dock and all the rest of it, or at least near there, they can do that for $500 million. A lot of clubs are sceptical about this that amount of money and think it's just consistent with the AFL sort of, you know, coming up with lowball figures on these things that they'll be lumped with later. But that's what Gil is trying to get Tasmania to put together and approve ahead of this vote. The AFL's trying at the moment to help Tasmania come up with a stadium. Just by way of reference, Allianz in Sydney costs over $1 billion now, I think, with some blowouts. That hasn't got a roof, but it's well over 40,000 seats. So the AFL is trying to help Tasmania put together, as part of the proposal to the presidents by the end of August, a stadium which is fully funded, which would cost about $500 million or $500 million. It's interesting. So that's what's going on there. There's also some scepticism about the cost of a team. If the AFL contributed the TPP, which is about $15 million, Tasmania kicked in the existing 10, it would still, I think it costs about $50 million a year minimum to run a team. And some clubs are concerned that Tasmania couldn't generate the balance, which is $25 million, or certainly guarantee the competition wouldn't cop that shortfall. So there's a lot of discussion in the background going on in regards to this. The AFL's working, helping Tasmania with their costings and trying to help them get up this stadium fully funded proposal so it can get to a club vote in late August. But some clubs still think that North Melbourne is the best option. Clearly, Gil McLachlan's got no appetite to force that on North Melbourne or Tasmania, who are a dedicated team. But that's still some clubs' opinion, and that's what's going on by way of discussion in the background.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Trade Thursday, the Cats and Richmond are interested in Paddy Dow, who at the moment is struggling to get a game at Carlton. So just a bit of a trade nugget to keep an eye on. Some trade sources also tell me that Lachie Whitfield, in theory, is available but unlikely to move. I think he's a little bit frustrated with the Giants, but not frustrated enough to move. But he's got a contract, Lachie Whitfield, until the end of 2027 at around $800,000 or $900,000 a year. And I think at his age, which is 27 or 28 now, it would be unlikely that anyone would come close to matching that contract. But it's not to say that someone wouldn't look around at Lachie at the end of the year. I'm not saying he's unhappy at the Giants. I'm just saying that in theory, some people regard him as potentially gettable. But on that sort of money, it's clearly unlikely.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'll leave you with a few ones in brief that have come across my desk. Melbourne fans, still a lot of discussion about them having a dedicated facility in Melbourne and Olympic Park. That's MOPT. They're still investigating that site at Gosh's, but I think in the most recent state budget, they, in essence, missed out on a significant chunk of expected funding, which I wouldn't say set that back, but they've now got to meet with a new minister, and they're working through that proposal again. A background idea they've still got would be to integrate their facility into a new Southern Stand, which could be a long-term project. That's the Southern Stand at the MCG. So they're still trying to work out what the best option is for the long-term interests of the club. Having said that, they won a flag out of Joondalup and Casey, which is, you know, a fair way away from the CBD. So who's to say that these facilities make a crazy difference? You know what makes a difference? Talent. And they've got plenty of it at Melbourne. Just regarding the latest for Gil McLaughlin's job, Gil could be in the job, his job, until October or November still. He's still got the TV rights deal to work through, which I might discuss tomorrow. He's still got Tasmania to work through, the CBA, which is the collective bargaining agreement, as well as the club distribution model. So he's got a lot on his plate at the moment, Gil McLaughlin. Tom Harley has officially interviewed for that job. Now, that's obviously a few candidates there. There's some discussion about it even being a joint role. You know, it could take two or three people to fulfill the role of Gil. Look, I think it's unlikely, but it is a bit of a discussion point in the background. There's some real momentum for Brodie Grundy to potentially take on Essendon on Sunday. There's no VFL the game this weekend, so it's a hard one for Craig McRae. I think it's most likely he'll come back through the VFL, Brodie Grundy, but boy, they'd be tempted to play him on Sunday against Essendon. Has huge bearings for the Bombers, but more relevantly for the finals, Collingwood and their top four hopes. I spoke to Isaac Quaynor this morning. He's over his COVID and he's available for selection. Taylor Adams also expected to come back in for the Pies. Also spoke to Tommy Lynch for Richmond fans this morning. He was at that AFLW launch and he showed me his fused finger and a x-ray of his fused middle right finger. That looks sore, certainly difficult to play golf with, but more relevantly in terms of his hamstring, he'll do some extra running at Richmond this weekend, and he thinks he's now about a week off in terms of his hamstring injury, which is his third one this year. But I think he'll be pretty cherry ripe, hopefully, to come in for a big run at the finals, providing the Tigers make it. That concludes a big news afternoon. Thanks for joining us on my podcast. I'll be back tomorrow with lots more footy news. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's News. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.